Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa.
James.
I guess it's a merry good time.
Yay. With very special guest, my mother-in-law, Mary Sterling. Long-time listener, one of the longest-time listeners, and arguably one of the more prolific booze-bringers.
Yes, thank you.
Right up there with Cedius. It would be honestly be a toss-up to see who brought more at this point. And Mud, actually. Mud has
of anyone who has assisted in the process of having whiskey peed into my glass.
a lot of it has come from...
You are the only one.
I'm also notorious for the bizarrest drinks.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Also, that is entirely true. all of this strange stuff that we end up with has come from Mary.
Yes.
Speaking of strange boozes,
yes.
What do we got tonight?
We have Young's Double Chocolate Stout with...
Here's for
Brady's Irish Cream Liqueur. We're making fancy dessert car bombs.
Yay, car bombs.
Yay!
We are doing half pours.
Yes.
Here because full pours are...
Powerful.
Powerful. Also, we have people who need to, like, go to work after this. So we're you know, going a little light on the car bomb. So... Here we go.
It's more like a car firecracker.
Yes. So now, just to make sure that everybody, our listeners included, know what is happening with a car bomb. What you do. What?
I just realized it's tiny and delicious. It's not a dessert car bomb. It's an 80.
Okay, so... So what a car bomb is, dear listener, is you take a glass of stout and a shot of Irish cream liqueur. What you do is you drop the shot of Irish cream liqueur into the stout, and instantly the cream starts to curdle in the stout, which means you need to drink the entire thing in one go.
Correct.
This is a pint shot. Is basically what this ends up being. And they're quite delicious, but oh my god. They can be a lot. So that's what we've got. We've got our shots of Irish cream. We have our pints of stout.
Yeah, we didn't want to sign it before the notary got to us.
Alright, ladies and gentlemen.
Here we are.
Kabloom. Oh, that's yummy.
Oh, wow. Oh, that is so good.
Isn't that tasty?
Oh.
What was that song? For tonight, I'll merry, merry be. For tonight, I'll merry, merry be. For tonight, I'll merry, merry be. Tomorrow, I'll be sober.
Yep. No, that's about it.
Wow, that stout is really good, too.
Yes. No, that makes for a really good car bomb right
there. It's a good combination.
Yeah, listeners, I whole... liveredly recommend Young's Double Chocolate Stout with Irish cream.
Yep.
Wow.
Nope. That's a bit
of a dessert.
Right there.
Yeah.
That
was fantastic. Follow up to my breakfast.
Oh, you finally had breakfast.
Yes, I did.
You broke your fast. It's fine.
I had a salad with pepperoni on it.
You can stay on that side of the bar and breathe.
So what you been up to, James?
aside from eating pepperoni on a salad, my keto diet is going really well.
Good, which we just destroyed with your.
Well, it's a speed bump, but yeah, that's one of the reasons that I also recommended the half pour.
Yep.
It should be great. It's getting better. Your first week or so going through. Switching away from regular carbs means that you feel like shit every day.
I mean, it's just like any diet when you're changing what you're eating in any significant way.
Yeah.
There's some adjustment period.
But I guess I'm starting to feel better. I'm still tired at the end of the day, but it's also at 8 a.m. So that's how that goes, I'm pretty sure.
Have you had any noticeable results yet, or?
Not as far as, weight loss, but the shape of my body is changing slightly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm a little less love-handily, and a little more, I have a little more chutzpah.
Like-handily?
Love. Yeah. Yes. Yes, I have like handles now. Well, okay. like handles.
Oh, like. Okay.
Yeah.
Light. Okay.
Like handles.
Yeah. It's not like, but it's just like.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like can lead to love.
Yes. So we're one step removed from love handle.
Uh-huh.
This is so stupid.
It is, yeah. I also got my results back on the audition. I am not in that show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, it's fair. I knew going in that my schedule with the show that I'm currently in may conflict too much, and it does. So
didn't seem to stop our last guest, but that's just, I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, it doesn't seem to stop our other regular host.
Nope.
But, yeah. Here no, in this case...
You'll get there. You'll get there.
Yeah.
Opportunity still knocks.
Oh, yeah. Jason Kruger told this dumb joke, and the punchline Opernockety Tunes has been stuck in my head. It's just, occasionally it'll just waft
sounds
across
like
my brain.
It's a Terry Foy joke.
It's a miserable joke. But yes, I just can't, yeah. So,
good?
I didn't get that, but that also means that I'm going to be trying out four other shows during that time. So, that opens me up for June.
Are we not doing phrasing?
I mean... It's only phrasing if it's unintentional.
Fair enough.
All right. Yeah. Other than that, just playing Titanfall Assault on my phone. So much. Giant robots, little soldiers running around. It's like
giant robots are good.
Yeah. It's like playing with G.I. Joes or something. But
G.I. Joe, the All-American Hero?
Yes.
The 4-inch ones or the 12-inch?
I mean, it depends on how closely I zoom in. Mm. But, yeah. No, it's an RTS, a real-time strategy game, where you drop things out in real-time as they become available to you.
Right.
In order to overwhelm the enemy. And it's...
Or underwhelm and lose.
Frequently.
As the case often is.
Often. All too often. I'm doing really well. I'm finding that I have a knack for it.
Just like every 30 seconds or so a new random unit appears, or is it you're building units based on factories, or you're choosing which units to build, or what is it?
It's a really interesting system. They give you cards, and mm-hmm. then you play the card, and the card recharges.
Okay.
So if you have a particular set of soldiers, you drop them, and then... your card takes time to come back.
Yeah, it kind of sounds...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a lot like a Hearthstone, where you have points that recharge. Okay.
I was thinking like Plants vs. Zombies.
Also, very similar to that. But instead of plants, you drop giant robots on people.
Because robots.
Because robots. Because big robots are fucking awesome.
How
I still need
big
to see...
are they?
Oh, come on.
They're so big that they're bigger than John Lennon. Who's bigger than Jesus. Okay. Good.
Not much to say in that department, though.
Yeah, I mean, no, we got the reference.
Okay.
It was just...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right.
It's...
But no, I...
almost bigger than light. Wait, they're dead. Never mind.
Oh. I,
What is going on?
Everything. Nothing.
Yay,
all things. Something.
Don't look at me.
Hockey.
Hockey's happening.
Yeah.
Playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I just showed somebody that guy licking the other person during the playoffs.
Oh.
He claimed him.
Yeah, Marchand?
Yes. My mind went to Marchand, and I was like, no, it's not Marchand, because I know Marchand. Marchand.
It's
Greg? Oh,
no,
a different one.
No, not Marchand.
Not somebody we know.
It's something really similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot, now I've got Chris
But
Marchand.
Yeah, no. Him
no,
like,
yeah.
pulling the dude close and just giving him like the full across his face.
He has been warned by the NHL to not do that again.
Yeah. I mean... I really liked, there was an interview about it afterward with the guy that got licked, and he was like, well, I told him that I have a wife and child, and that this is not going to work out.
Just because you lick it is not necessarily yours. But you tell that to a child with a lollipop.
No, it's Brad Marchand. That's
yeah,
what it is.
Okay,
Brad.
Yeah.
It Brad is a Marchand.
The name Marchand sounded right, and it came to mind, but I was like, no, you're thinking of Chris Marchand that you are.
No, he has a history of doing that, and he does it to get under the opponent's skin, to just kind of throw them off their game.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has, because he does have a history of doing it, he has been warned by the NHL that if he does it one more time, he will be fined.
I mean, he seems like my kind of dude. He's just putting all of these things into his mouth. I don't.
Yeah, no, it's psychological warfare.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I imagine that would be very surprising.
And it didn't work because the Bruins were eliminated, but that's beside the point. I mean,
and we're talking hockey. I mean, there's a whole lot of that goes in hockey.
Yeah,
I mean, really.
You can hit him in the face.
Historically.
Yeah. You can check him in the ribs and break stuff. You can knock his teeth out, but for heaven's sakes, don't lick him.
Yep.
Stop it.
Stop.
Stop tasting the enemy.
I mean, even Canadians have their limits.
I mean, you can smear the face all over the ice.
What he's got to do is, like, lick them and then very quietly, sorry.
No, I've been enjoying the playoffs this year because of Vegas.
Yeah. Yes, the new team.
They're a brand new freaking team this year.
Yes.
And they have made it into the freaking conference finals.
Now, am I remembering correctly, they are the Golden Knights?
They are the Vegas Golden Knights.
Golden Knights, yeah.
And the thing is I like everything about them.
You're listening to KNOW. This is Hockey Talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry about that. No, we're talking about what I've been doing now.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with that. Yeah.
By all means, fast forward if this. We'll get through this quickly.
No,
sorry,
don't,
but no,
don't be sorry
I,
for that.
I legitimately.
This podcast has become a musical since I joined, effectively, because that has given Jenna permission. Not that she ever needed it, but it's also, like, made her feel more comfortable just breaking out into song occasionally. And she knows that she will only have one other person ridiculing her, and then the other person will back her up vocally.
You can ridicule is one thing, but you're going to be right anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so sorry if you really don't care about this topic. Please just skip ahead 5 minutes. And if we're still talking about it,
they probably don't care about giant robots either.
Also, probably.
I
feel like our listenership probably cares about giant robots more than hockey.
Salsa, with our powers combined, giant robot.
Hockey playing
hockey.
Robots?
Yes.
It'll be like, what was that movie with Hugh Jackman?
And which one?
The fighting robot.
Real Steel.
Yeah, Real Steel, except the sequel.
Yeah.
Which is Ice Steel.
But still punching.
Oh,
also,
so much.
On skates.
Brad Marchand could be the voice of a robot that licks other robots during the hockey match. Oh.
You don't want hockey players to be actors. Trust me. You do not want hockey players to be actors.
No. It's like casting basketball.
Have you ever seen Slapshot?
If you have ever seen any of the local...
It was a miracle.
If you've ever seen any of the local, like, car dealership commercials that uses a sports figure, sports figures are not actors, generally.
Especially with hockey players on live TV, and if they smile, oops.
I mean, half of them, English isn't their first language, so...
I'm Rich Grunderson. My uncle's car wash isn't just the car wash I go to because he's my uncle. It's also because it's the best car wash. So you should go to it too. Yay.
But you're forgetting the crucial element. You're forgetting the crucial element of the supposed to be enthusiastic moment where they remember and... where they pass the savings on to you.
Salsa, have you seen my zombie? Jack completely depicts this process here. You're wearing a t-shirt, of course. What can I say? I read t-shirts. When they're in front of me, I read... Ooh.
This is a wonderful t-shirt.
That's a good t-shirt. But then again, I was listening to...
Yay, audio
to James
podcast.
Being...
So anyway,
robot.
We're going to get through this hockey thing so our listeners can listen to the podcast again.
Can I derail you some more?
The Vegas Golden Knights.
I'm not a hockey fan.
No, honestly, Vegas Golden Knights, this is their very first year in the NHL, and they not only led their division in points, mm-hmm. they are now in the conference finals in the playoffs. I like their colors, even though I can't see them. I like their logo. I like their players. Yeah. I like their coaches. I like this team.
Oh,
and I,
wow.
And it's, it, and as a I've Minnesota seen a bunch of those... fan, to be a fan of a team that's winning is weird.
That is weird. Oh, that's real weird. No, it makes complete sense because it's you're a fan of a team from another state. So
also
of
that,
course,
but the
yeah.
thing is here I'm of a mixed mind here.
Sure.
Because on the one hand, they could win the fucking cup. And if they win the cup, how cool would that be for a team their first year
that
in
would
the
be
NHL
amazing.
To win? That would be unprecedented.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand,
it's a real Cinderella story.
On the other hand, where do you go from there?
It's just sideways.
Like from that point on, all of their fans every year are just going to be like, "Well, we didn't win the cup this year. Like the first time we ever played. Like their expectations of their team are going to be so skewed.
Well, but number one, they are the team for the correct state. If that's the case, it's the state of gambling. It shows you the odds.
Well, I'm just thinking that where they go up, it's the top of the Luxor to me.
Huh?
Can you imagine trying to skate up the side of that thing?
Can you imagine skating down it?
Oh, yes. Yes, I can.
Now, I have to ask, trust me, this is me. What colors are the Golden Knights?
Pretty. They're pretty colors.
I mean, should I look?
You can definitely look it up and tell me what they
are,
but they look pretty to me.
I assume they're gold and something, but you're a Wild fan, and I know you can't see those colors.
Well, I mean, I can see them. I just can't tell them apart. No, they're it's this dark, like, slate gray almost, like...
Golden silver. Oh, that would make sense if they're gold and silver. That would make sense.
So we're gonna
Vegas.
We're moving off of hockey, dear listener. Hockey, we're done. Because I wore shorts today. We're done talking about hockey.
I mean, there's that.
Also,
I was just thinking, like, I always see the people walking around Renfest in the jerseys made out of chainmail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There will never be a more appropriate team.
Then that would be good.
Then the Golden Knights, yeah.
Oh, geez.
Well, I mean, the Vikings is pretty solid
that. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
Vikings are weird. Well,
right. It's the chainmail.
I'm trying to remember if there's any football teams that are, and I don't think they are.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There are a ton of high school teams called the Knights or the Spartans or the, you know,
the Warriors or something to that effect.
Yeah,
on the other hand, I can imagine, okay, if you have the Knights wearing chainmail, can you imagine the Packers wearing cheese?
They do.
Yeah, they do.
Like the fans are already wearing
I'm not talking cheese heads. I'm talking jerseys made of cheese curds.
So my brother-in-law,
if anyone,
has a game that he plays with his own brain, wherein whenever he thinks of a sports team matchup, he thinks of teams comprised of the mascots. So whenever people are talking about a game between, you know, the Vikings and the Bears, he pictures in his head a group of Vikings and a group of Bears. And then he goes, who would win in this fight? And that's who he roots for.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, like, and Vikings and Bears particularly, that's a really good question.
Well, especially because Vikings are the origin of the term berserker.
Berserker, yes.
A bear coat.
Yep.
Like, this person killed a bear.
Exactly.
And is wearing its coat and is mad.
Exactly, but there is a lot of Vikings.
Well, they think he's mad.
But there are also a lot of Bears.
Yeah.
So who would win that fight?
It's a good question.
Some of them are a little easier, like the Pirates and the Cardinals. I think we're going to go with the Pirates on that one.
It was me first day with the hook.
And then there's the ones that are like the Colts and the Browns? And he's just like, just a field of brown spots, I guess.
Something. Crayons.
But anyway, sports.
Yes.
What I did this weekend was I went to a couple parties.
Oh.
I was on call, so that sucked.
That does suck.
Because I did get a few calls. Like, my Friday night basically was spent with me on my computer. And then my Saturday, like, and we went to a couple of these parties, and I was like, I'm okay with going to these as long as everybody there knows I might disappear.
Right.
And at one of them I did.
Yeah.
You just, like, everybody was like, where'd Salsa go? Oh, he's in the other room. Never mind, leave him alone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, being on call sucks. But, yeah, no, a couple parties. One of them was for a friend that we haven't seen in a long time.
Oh.
They live out of state now, and so... Or they have had for... They're in the process of moving back.
Sure.
Like, he lives here again. She is still finishing, like, her school year up, and then she's going to move back up here. But his job started a couple months ago, so he's already up here.
Are you vague booking with Matt Alex? May he rest in peace?
No. I mean, not on purpose, other than nobody knows
right.
who these
yeah.
people are,
no worries.
So it doesn't really matter.
It's just interesting to see you talk around it.
No, it's just, yeah, I mean, it's not people that anybody knows, so it,
no,
doesn't,
yeah.
so it doesn't matter. Names would be irrelevant. At
yeah,
this
they're
point.
Nobodies.
Yeah,
they're
I
not
mean,
nobodies.
No, I just haven't seen him in a while and got a chance to hang out with him mm-hmm. and do a grilling and you know, stuff
it's
like that.
It's a good weekend
made
for
some
it.
Made sous vide steak, mm. which...
Ooh.
Wow. Like, these were inch and a half thick cuts of steak, and mm-hmm. they were perfectly sous vide. God, they were good.
Yeah. Sous vide is magical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a... I'm going to need to clean my underwear, because that steak was good.
I believe it's pronounced sous vide.
Susie who?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like the Doors song.
Yeah. And then the next day we went to another, the May Day party, because mm-hmm. it was May Day, and also Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
Cinco de Mayo was Saturday.
Yeah. It was like May Day and Cinco de Mayo were
I can never
both
remember what day Cinco de Mayo is.
Yeah, well, neither can
I. The May Day parade was Sunday.
I think it's near the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Which is on the 7th? But,
yeah, the 7th of April.
Yes. Yeah. No, so on Cinco de Mayo, people celebrated May Day, which is the 1st of May.
Mm-hmm. Right. What was the first Saturday around May Day?
Yeah.
You pick a day when you could actually
no, I
go
know.
To
I
things?
Just...
I mean, really?
Right. Well, a lot like Did, Halloween yeah. parties or St. Patty's Day.
Absolutely.
Did you ever make a May Day basket for your mom? What?
A what?
Exactly.
Someone left May Day baskets on our doorknobs.
Mm-hmm.
At the place that I live now, because we're not far from a school, so they were like, okay, kids, make these, and then go wander out into the neighborhood and put them on strangers' doors. It was adorable, but I'm also like, who's watching these children?
Teachers always remember that thing to do, because it's a project of gifting, I guess. I don't know.
It was a simpler time, James.
Yes, it was.
Well, there's that.
No, and I mean, May Day was clearly the last time we recorded, because, well... Matt's, may he rest in peace, mother sent us that recording. Which we listened to.
Alrighty.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, the 1st of May recording came.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll play it for you at the break.
Yeah.
That's alright. I'll deal with
okay.
it later. I get it. I'll figure it out.
Okay. So yeah, that was last week, but it was celebrated on Saturday, which
uh-huh.
again was Cinco de Mayo. So it was,
well, some places
it was
say
like, I don't know what anybody's celebrating anymore.
Cinco de Mayday.
Yeah, but the Mayday parade was Sunday, the one that walks
yeah.
down mm-hmm. Bloomington with all the big puppets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. no, it was Sunday because I wanted to be there for that too.
Oh.
there were some really interesting new ones that went down, but. It's an entirely separate matter. Giant puppets walk in the streets. I love it.
Giant puppets are pretty awesome.
Uh-huh.
Giant puppets are pretty awesome.
Yeah. They're just like...
Yeah, there was like... We were coming home after the barbecue, and there were just people walking down the street on stilts.
Yep.
Just like,
yeah,
it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right then.
Indeed. yeah, no, and just getting ready for this coming weekend.
Mm, that's true.
Yeah.
Because, holy shit. festival season for me is beginning very soon. And
yeah, I noticed you're giving your camper a tune-up.
Yeah, the camper's getting a tune-up. I'm pulling out my costumes, making sure everything... You know how every year at the end of the run, you have those things where you're like, I need to get this fixed slash clean slash taken care of before next year? Yeah, that was about 2 days ago. I went, fuck.
I mean... Yeah,
I need I'm looking at my pants like, oh shit, the holes that I need to patch didn't just magically disappear since last year.
Yeah, the danger of eating fire.
No, none of this is from fire at all. Actually,
I'm making a fart joke. All right.
Oh, there's a fart cupboard there.
There is.
Okay.
So, what have you been up to?
Oh, I was going to ask Salza quick about did you ever get your kolachkis?
No, but that's okay.
Okay.
The rain hasn't been hard enough for him to wear.
I suppose that I forgot that happened.
Kolachkis.
Speaking of being on call. So Mary will be able to talk about this too because she was there as well. But we went to the Festival of Nations.
Ooh.
This weekend. And longtime listeners will know that this is something I talk about every year. Mm-hmm. But the Festival of Nations is this big, huge event that takes place at the River Center and the Roy Wilkins Auditorium in St. Paul, and it's massive. It's huge. Like there's one room, a huge room that it just basically turns into a giant international food court, and it's booths upon booths upon booths, and each booth is a different country where they're selling like between 6 and 12 different dishes from their country, and you've got 50 of them.
And you walk in, and the first thing you realize before you even hit the floor is, wow, this smells really, really good, and I am so very hungry now.
It's amazing. And you bring a half dozen people, and you show up, and everybody just, you find a central location, and one person sits at the table, and everybody else just scatters. And they go to four different countries and grab one dish from each country, and then we all converge on the table, and we share everything. So you're getting one or two mouthfuls of food from... By the time you're done, you have gone through 27 countries worth of food. And it's all amazing. And you're just like, I have had amazing, amazing food from...
My mouth is watering already.
Nigeria and France and Tanzania and
Turkish coffee and 15 different kinds of egg rolls and herring with lingonberry sauce.
Some of these Indonesian desserts. And it's just like this...
mango lassi.
It's so great.
The food, yes, and it's you end up going, I am so stuffed, and then half an hour later, you're like, I'm hungry again. Because
like
all you got were bites.
You had me at
you've
herring.
Got these Vietnamese honey cakes. so you're getting...
Spam and rice. I couldn't believe how tasty that was.
Oh,
spam and rice.
Yeah, the fried spam and rice was phenomenal.
It's like weird.
It was so
There's
weird.
A reason.
And the other one was
Hawaii
Jamaican meat pie. Oh my gosh, the spicy meat pie. Oh, that was corn.
And like they had the fried plantains from Nigeria. I think it was Nigeria.
Yes, it was Nigeria.
And then they had like this beef stew from like South Africa or something like that. And then of course you go to France and you get a crepe or what's it called? The cream puff. With the chocolate
Coquette?
On it.
Mm-hmm.
No,
eclairs.
Eclair. Go to your France and you get like eclair, and then you
I managed to get the
thing.
Danish they're balls, like big golf ball size pancakes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I managed to get there because usually there's such a crowd in front of the Danes that you can't even get near this booth.
And then
they were young.
What country was it where they had the deep fried like bean? That it was like falafel.
Nigeria.
Was it Nigeria? Okay.
That Moi Moi.
Yeah.
Moi Moi. It was Nigeria.
That sounds phenomenal.
It's like a little falafel, but it was just like, it almost had this blue color, like a light blue tint on the inside. And it was just this fried bean, ground up bean that was just so good. So anyway.
And watching all the people running around and all the different colors just the people, but the clothing and all the different things. And this year I thought it was really interesting was the table settings. Normally we show up and they're like, there's a round table. You go there and there's a round table with chairs around it. This year they had square tables, round tables, umbrellas over their tables. They had tables on the floor with pillows so you could sit on the floor and stuff like that. They even had ones that looked, I don't know what they looked like out of a, I'm going to say a bordello because they were very funny looking things. There were pedestals where you would put people up on top of practically. You got me, but there were people sitting on them at the tables. And so there was all different kinds of groups and it's fun watching all the different people watch each other and the music is over and the loud noise and
because at the end of the hall where the food court is, right at the end where you first come in, that's where the performance stage was for people playing music from all different countries. And so like every half an hour it was a different country that would show up. You know, you would have a harpist from Ireland, you know, and then half an hour later you would have
a hardanger fiddler.
Yeah, exactly. And just so Alpenhorn. So you always had this different music happening, and so you're eating this amazing food from all over. And you just, you know, and then you go to the Norwegian booth and you get the reindeer sausage with lingonberry sauce on it. Oh, and then like,
it's really yummy.
And then you get done eating and you go into the next room, and the next room is the marketplace. And the marketplace is, again, all different booths from all different countries. Each country has a market booth, and you go in and there's just wares and you, all sorts of stuff.
From all over the world, and so probably most of these people the sellers are local, probably.
Some of them, but I have definitely had some conversations in German with the German booths.
Oh, yeah, but they're local, too.
Yeah, well, some of them. There were some that when they did speak English, it was very clearly accented. Right.
But it's wonderful to see the different ethnic.
A bocce, you know, court set up on one side. And then
I love that.
And then you go upstairs. And upstairs is in the Roy Wilkins Auditorium. That's where the dancing is, and it's
oh, it's wonderful.
They have dance troupes from different ethnic cultures doing traditional dances, and so like we saw
Croatian and Turkey
and Turkish. Yep, that's what it was. And then there was
a
break.
And your kids were absolutely mesmerized by that. They sat still, staring. Oh, and, you know, they're two and four, and they're staring. Absolutely fascinated.
For kids to see.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. Every block, they have, like, six different countries, you know. And you'll have, like I said, you'll have a Korean dance group, and then a Middle Eastern dance group, and then an Irish dance troupe comes through, and then a Nigerian dance group will come through, you know.
And at some point, a Scottish dance group would come through, and that would be your wife and sister-in-law.
Aww.
Yeah, that's how they did. Yep. When they were younger, they used to do that every Saturday afternoon.
Story checks out.
That. So. And that's what we used to do, too.
So the dancing is amazing. And if you go to the room behind that area is where they have, like, the cultural displays.
Uh-huh.
And those are just, you know, it's not selling or anything. It's just, here is our culture. Come.
And they usually have a theme each year of something. Marriage, leisure, Christmas, other holiday, whatever.
But, like, they'll have a yurt set up,
and
you go inside, and they just have the yurt set up like they would in, you know, Mongolia.
Sure.
And you just look around, and you're like, this is what the inside of a functioning yurt would look like. This is the decorations that would be in there. These are the beddings that would be in there. This is how somebody would live in this thing.
That is fantastic.
One of the things we didn't get to see much of was, I thought it was kind of new this year, was storytellers. They had storytellers from all different kinds of backgrounds standing in the middle of this group telling interesting stories.
Love that.
Yeah, it is.
So phenomenal.
It's great to listen to
folk tales from everywhere.
Exactly.
There was the one year. This was a while ago. Now this has got to have been
before children, BC.
Definitely before children. this must have been. This must have been 8 or 9 years ago,
as opposed to AD after dad.
You know the big leather belts that I wear, the Fondazzi wear
that I am extremely jealous of. Yes.
I was planning on making those, and we were at this cultural event, and there was somebody wearing one of these belts.
Ooh.
And so I was like, can I
Can I see his belt? And I, like, he took his belt off and handed it to me, and I've got my phone out, and I am taking pictures of the seams, and, like,
right.
I am opening...
You're
and,
dissecting it,
I am
yeah.
absolutely dissecting his belt and taking pictures mm-hmm. of every possible angle, and he was just looking at me, like, a little dubiously, but that is how I... patterned mm-hmm. belts
I am not
that
the
I
one
wear
with
now.
The microfilm.
That those, is how I pattern those belts that I am wearing.
Nice.
Those are very popular belts.
Yeah.
They're very big and quite, but they're amazing.
They're expensive
they look
and they're
great.
Very time consuming, but they're mm-hmm. phenomenal.
And they look great.
And they feel so comfortable. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we digress. But anyway, I
how
was
dare
on,
you.
I know, right? I was on call.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
And so we're having a great time, we're eating, and I suddenly look at my wife and I go, fuck, I left my laptop. And she was like, do you need to go home? And I was like, no, it's in the car. It's okay. it's in the car. If I get a phone call, I can go to the car
right.
in the parking lot. This will be okay. Not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm, you know,
oh, man.
10 minutes away,
you just,
whatever.
Give me a minute to unpucker.
Yeah,
just
exactly, like... exactly. No, it was, I was...
Shit.
It was a moment where I was just like, well, but...
I could see the moment when you swung the bag over your shoulder and you said, damn, it's the baby bag, not the computer bag.
Yeah, yeah exactly, it was the diaper bag. And so I suddenly swung the diaper bag on and went, fuck, where's my laptop? Shit. Okay, it's in the car. Okay.
It's not in the baby bag.
So we do the food, we do the market, we do the dancing, blah, blah, blah. We go through, a couple hours pass, we're getting done, we leave, we go to the car, and I open the car, and my computer is not in the car. My computer is at home.
Oh.
And I have been really lucky that the
riding
phone didn't
dirty.
Ring.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we go home. There's my laptop, my work laptop, which I'm supposed to have with me at all times when I'm on call, sitting at home. So that afternoon, we go to this party. And I remember to bring the laptop.
Well, yes.
And we get there, and I take this laptop, and I'm like, I have my work laptop, and I set it down, and we have a great time. And we get done with the party, and we go home, and
no.
I get home,
no.
and I go,
no.
I left the computer at the party.
No. Fuck! No!
Shit! Bad, oh, bad, bad zombie! Oh. Bad zombie!
So I...
okay.
Our friends live like 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
So I hop back in the car... And I drive over to my friend's house, and I park the car, and I get out, and I walk to their backyard. And as I approach the backyard, my sister-in-law sees me. And she knows we just left, so she gives me this quizzical look. And I just lock eyes with her, reach down and pick up my laptop bag, sling it over my shoulder, and walk away.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as she saw me pick up the laptop bag, she just rolled her eyes and laughed at me.
Now, this is a sister-in-law who's supposed to be studying her tests.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right.
I mean, sometimes to study effectively, you have to take a break from studying.
Yeah. So that was...
important.
Now, I have to say, Salz of the Dancing, my favorite moment was walking in and watching you guys sitting on the floor, just like we used to do when mm-hmm. your wife and my children were little, sitting on that concrete. It's cold, but it's utterly, you're right there practically able to touch the mm-hmm. dancers. Mm-hmm. And when the dancing was over, just like the girls, my kids used to do, they got up, they put on music and lights, and the kids all started dancing around with the lights up that were mm-hmm. all over the floor. I need Asher to get a kilt. Your son needs a kilt.
I'm down with that.
He needs a kilt. That kid needs... Did you know that they will start teaching Scottish dancing at 3?
I'm down with that.
He has rhythm.
I'm sure my wife would not object to that.
No, he has rhythm. He has rhythm. I asked her as we were walking out, does he need clogs or a kilt? Kilt, she says.
Both?
No, Highland dancers don't wear clogs.
I'm just imagining smoothly transitioning from one to the other.
Well, as my dear daughter would say, no, Irish dancers only do half the work. Scottish dancers use all their body.
Yep. Irish is just the waist down.
Shit.
Yep.
And,
yes?
I was reminded this last weekend was also, I had such a blur of a Saturday.
doing all kinds of stuff and having the worst time moving furniture because it started raining and I had an open bed truck that I was moving stuff in. That evening, I went to the birthday celebration for one Bryn Berryhill, friend of the show, Bryn Berryhill, and fellow chess player. Part of her birthday celebration was to go swing dancing. So I have now been swing dancing, and it's exhilarating.
Had you not been before?
No.
Oh.
It's extremely tiring.
Yes, it is.
Some part of that may also have been that I was moving furniture before, but also that it's a workout.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the people that I went with are so good. And they were so kind to teach me. Because I'm not talented with dancing at all.
I do enjoy a good swing dance.
But I had a blast. At one point, I was dancing with someone from Fest, one of the princesses from Fest. And she was like, "Do you want me to lead?" And I was like, "Yes, please. Yes, go ahead. You know what you're doing, and you're a princess. You know way better than I do." And so she was like spinning me, and I'm sure that I had this look of pure glee. And she was like, "Right?" And I'm like, "It's so fun." She's like, "That's why we do this."
All right.
Well,
I'm going to teach you some moves.
All right.
Well, swing dancing, well, dancing in general, if you have someone who's really good, it's really fun to dance with.
Yeah.
Move you, go.
Well, like one of
you are putty in their hands.
Longtime dance partners at that particular event, because this was not her first time going to that specific.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go?
Club, the Ukraine Culture Center.
Okay. Oh.
Has a swing group that meets there a bunch.
What days?
Weekend,
weekday,
Monday and.
Oh.
Thursdays,
weekdays,
I
okay.
think.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, but in this case, it was on a Saturday.
Oh, okay.
So, she was like, "Oh, yeah, this guy is here, and you have to watch." And I did, and I was like, "Whoa!"
There's your athleticism, and you can have your light handles instead. Your light love.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'll teach you some moves, and then the next time you go, you'll be able to surprise everyone with
less of a bread loaf and more of a pita.
Ooh.
When I was
flatbread.
When I was in high school,
like that, with abs, like weird crinkly abs in the middle of your tortilla.
When I was in
toasted.
When I was growing up, I was in 4-H, and our 4-H leader taught dance every year in 4-H. So ever since I was 8 years old, I was learning how to dance. So I basically once a year I took lessons in two-step, foxtrot, and swing.
Mm. Sure.
And waltz.
And salsa.
Not at this point. But it did translate, which is how I got the name, eventually.
Right. That is one of the three stories I've heard.
Well, I'll tell you the real one sometime. I like to be shrouded in mystery. So by the time we got to high school, all of us that were in 4-H, that had been taking her dance lessons every year, she taught a class to the high schoolers before prom, so that people knew how to dance during prom. All of us that had been taking her classes for a decade at this point, she waived the fee, because we were more help than anything else, because we could show up and she could pair us off with whoever needed help and know that we were going to be able to help them. So I basically did these prom dance lessons for free. But so I show up, and we had somebody had transferred there a year or two previously.
Mm-hmm.
Like the very first day of dance classes, she and I get paired up with each other. We start to dance, and within 3 seconds, we look at each other and go, "Oh, you know how to dance. Awesome." And we start going to town on sway. We're just like, yeah, we're doing fancy pretzels, and we're like, we're doing lifts and all this other stuff. And she's like, "Nope, you two, okay." And so she splits us up. Because it's a class.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She
wants
people to learn, and if we're not... You know, if we already know what the fuck we're doing, we're not learning, and
you're not teaching.
We're better utilized.
I'm sure that's daunting for the other students to see.
Well, but even then, it's just we are better utilized with, you know, sure. being paired up. So, so like from that day, every single time we had a class, we would they would do the little mixer dance, and we would try to like gauge it to try to get paired up with each other. And every time we finally succeeded, she would immediately split us up. And so prom finally comes, and I'm like, yes, prom is coming, you know, that we'll be able to go out there. Nobody's going to stop us. We're going to go, we're going to do swing dancing. We're going to do all the crazy throws and lifts and stuff like that. And she shows up in this two-piece dress with a chain around the belly. And she's like, yeah, we're, I'm like, I can't do a lot of the throws with that outfit. And she was like, yeah, sorry.
Fashion over form, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and she was really like, I didn't think of that when I mean, yeah. She looked gorgeous in this dress, she was, but I didn't think about the dancing aspect of things. So.
Well, at least you got to that kind of ballroom dancing. When I was in 4-H, they taught us square dancing.
Sure.
Polka, shoddish, there was always the bunny hop and the... I can't remember the circle dances that we would do, too, because, you know, it's like, well, okay. And we never... They didn't try and teach us those
things.
The
circle dance that we learned was the mixer.
Because
it would, you know, it would do-do-do-do-do, you know, and we'd go around, and then the woman would get past the next person. And she would do three or four of those, and then that's who you would dance with.
Yep.
So that was the mixer dance. But, yeah, like I said, We always learned waltz, two-step, foxtrot, and swing.
I got to kind of awkwardly teach somebody, awkwardly because it's me teaching, but I got to awkwardly teach somebody how to waltz. He was an amazing swing dancer, but he was like, I don't know how to waltz. And I was like, oh, it's so easy. Come on. Let's go do this thing. Yeah. So it was super fun.
Honestly, once you, and I mean, obviously dances are drastically different, but once you kind of get the general idea of left, right, left, right, left, right, in a rhythmic fashion, just in a different configuration,
it
really makes things a lot easier.
Sure.
Yeah.
And there's variation, you know, with you know, merengue and stuff like that. It's a lot more hip movement and stuff like that, but it's still left, right, left, right, left, right.
Guys who know how to dance get girls. You know that? All these guys who think that, oh, it's sissy stuff. No, guys get, all the girls want the guy who wants to dance.
Yeah.
Because you are God. No.
I was asked to prom my sophomore year because I was dancing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I'd love to try to dance. I 100% will always try. I'm not good, but I love to do that.
It's very physically involved. There's so much in your body that you're doing. It's more than just some of your athleticics. Yeah, lifting weights. Yeah, try lifting the girl. She may be a little bit of nothing, but she's live.
Well, and the thing is I got so done with it after a while.
Yeah.
Like again, I've been learning since I was 8, and I was just kind of like, I'm done with this. You know, it was. And so it's been a source of frustration for my wife because, you know, we'll go to weddings and she'll basically have to force me out on the dance floor. But I'm starting to get back into enjoying it again.
It's now been long enough.
Kind of. Yeah. It was just, I wasn't enjoying it. I wasn't having fun with it for a while. Mm. But now it's starting to come back where I'm just like, dancing, that sounds like a good time. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep.
Well, with almost all physical activities like that, sports and dancing and those kinds of things, I just get into my head, and that's not a way to be good at anything. So,
your head?
It. Yeah.
Overthinking.
I'm just stuck, this foot, and arm, wait,
that's just at the beginning, right? Because once you get practice, it becomes autopilot, and it just flows
that
way.
That's what I'm hoping. Yeah.
It's like everybody, you know, the best drivers are not the young ones who have the fast reflexes. No. It's the old folks who've had so much practice,
that it's going to happen.
Auto.
Right.
5 miles automatic.
Before it does.
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say, as much as my reflexes were really good when I was a young driver, I can predict when people are going to try to merge into the side of my car and react before it happens rather than as it's happening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. experience takes a lot of things and practice. Yeah. And so we're so hard on practice. But then again, look at video games. We're practicing all the time with them.
Sure. Well, and...
That's why you have so many lives.
Uh-huh.
Unlike the cars on the road.
It's kind of the same thing that I'm running into with instruments, because I've always been really miserable with instruments. Mm-hmm. But, I'm forcing myself to continue, even though I'm just... I have no natural talent for it.
Yeah, but you want to do it. And I'm betting that once you succeed to where you're comfortable with it, relaxed with it, you will move on to something else. Because you're a Renaissance man who wants all this good stuff to cool.
Yeah, I want to be able to play music. I want to be able to dance to music. And all of that stuff is going way outside of my regular comfort zone. But that's kind of what I'm about. So. Mm-hmm.
I have no natural comedic talent, and I seem to be muddling by. So you'll get
I disagree
there.
With that.
Really the second don't. Part? Yeah, that's
muddling by. That's
muddling.
We should take a break.
Oh, yeah.
How about that muggle, right?
Right. Yeah, like that.
We'll go with that.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Perfect. welcome back. My name is Salsa.
I'm James.
Mary B.
Yay! All right. Now comes the portion of the show. You know it's coming. Where we talk to our guest. Woo! Or in this case, our guest host or our replacement host.
Right,
or,
yeah.
I don't know.
Everybody's grandma. Mom. I'm everybody. Oh, no. I've known you since you were about that big. And I know Jenna since she was about that big. Mm-hmm. My daughters before they were at all.
You looked after me out at Fest once or twice as well.
I was probably 21 when you met me.
I've been out there. This past year was my 35th season.
Oh,
officially.
Wow.
35 seasons of insanity.
Two seasons of sanity. They were just mixed in there somewhere.
Seriously mixed in, because there might have been a day in this year and a day in that year.
It wasn't
and a
single season.
No, never.
There was
no.
an hour here in and aggregate. A few minutes there, yeah.
And the scary part is, unlike a few people, I've been the same damn character the whole time.
That is amazing.
Except for the first year.
Are you the same character as you are with Mayor's Entourage and everything?
Yes,
like
it's
that?
The same character. Mm-hmm. She just kind of... evolved
she just
over
to a different okay
she evolved over. It's the same character. I mean, she's still squeaking like nothing else.
Absolutely. I didn't know if you had a different persona that just happened to have a lot of similarities.
Nope, it's not, it's the same. Okay. I did once try a different character. This was on a Festival Friday 1,000 years ago where I showed up as the Lord Mayor's sister, Mamie.
Oh.
Mamie Brewer. Now, Lord Mayor Cooper, who has a lot of alcoholic opportunities.
Right. Yeah, you don't have a drinking problem.
You know what a Cooper does? Because they make barrels. Yeah. Wine, cask kegs, and barrels.
Sure. Yep.
And all of those are important for making your...
pickled herring.
Very important things.
Oh.
Well, we're going to pickle something.
I know, right?
I just realized pickled herring is probably just fine for my diet, and I have to stop by the Cub on the way home tonight on the way to work to go get pickled herring. Oh, my God.
Just to tide you over.
Right.
But then you need to go to Ingebretson's tomorrow.
Lingonberry sauce. And what else did they have on that?
I don't know that I can...
Rye crisp.
I don't know. I can't have rye crisp or lingonberry.
Oh, because you need the rye crisp.
I know.
You need... the lingonberry sauce, and you need the reindeer sausage.
Damn, that sounds so good. Well, one of the things that I'm finding out are alternatives for foods that I love that are not in the diet. So, making bread or making crackers, things like that. I have 2 bags of pork rinds and a tub of nacho cheese dip, because all of those things are fine.
Anna?
I have never made crackers.
Yeah,
You should.
Well, crackers can be good.
I should make it. It's good. It's never crossed my mind. I should make crackers.
Crackers and flatbread. They're the two kinds of things. Flatbread works as cracker,
too. I've made flatbread.
Really flatbread.
I just saw a recipe that one, Brussels sprout soup with bacon in it sounds fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one was a jambalaya that uses riced vegetables instead of rice.
Mm.
And it looks mind-blowing.
Cauliflower is amazing.
Yep, and cauliflower is kind of the keto answer to everything.
Yeah. Potatoes.
But it tastes so good when you bake it.
Buttered cauliflower.
Put it in the oven and bake it. Uh-huh. Even if you don't add butter, or you can add Molly McButter, the sprinkly crust stuff.
Exactly. No, butter is fine in keto. Mm-hmm.
No, I absolutely want to make some homemade cheese and put it on homemade crackers.
Yeah.
There you go.
Why have I never thought of this
before? I don't know, but you should.
Also,
you're cracked.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
Yeah. So you've been the same person out there for 34 years.
34 plus years.
That's amazing.
1984 would have been the first year.
Just starting my second year on entertainment, and I already am going to be someone slightly different.
I've seen so much evolve over the years, but that's an entirely separate matter. Right. But she started off being the same, a widow, mm-hmm. walking around looking for escorts. Or are you married? Excuse me, I have to back up and do this correctly. Why are you laughing about? You really don't need to laugh about anything here. If you really want to get started with talking about laughing, we can find you. Oh, Zilch, have you ever listened to Zilch? Now, he's funny. But then again, we'll talk about the fearless people.
Now,
we're
going to
talk about fearless. Uh-huh. Oh, we're going to awesome you over here. Yes. You are such a sweet little thing. You got this snake. That,
nice.
Well,
okay. Oh, this is wonderful.
And you haven't heard the giggle either, have you?
I haven't.
When I was with the mayor's entourage, we used to be up on top of the gate mornings and evenings. I realized that nobody could hear me up there, even with the squeaky voice. Huh? But the giggle just went across the grounds. And then there's Bill going, rubbing his ear because I'm standing too close. And he just got so used to listening to me that, you know, whatever, it's you again.
Yep.
And it has... what was it? The previous king, George, used to call me Minnie Mouse on helium. Minnie Mouse on helium. And it's been the same thing. She was a five-time widow and looking for the next husband. And everybody's like, oh, you're a black widow. No, she's not a black widow. She never killed anybody. They just sort of...
Yet.
No, her first husband's... You know, the wine glass got bigger and bigger and bigger until one day at dinner time, he just fell into the goblet, the bowl, and drowned. The next husband decided was a soldier, and we went off after a few months of marriage. He went off to war, and well, you know what happens when the knights go off to war. They don't always come back.
He had it coming.
They don't come back. Or, I have to remember all the stories. I had stories.
Yeah.
I had all these stories that, you know, went with it, and it never made a whole lot of need either.
Hmm.
So, mm-hmm. but.
I just imagine you, like, chipperly going through, as you're, somebody's like, oh, sure, I'll walk from here to there with you, mm-hmm. and you're just, like, regaling them with the stories of all of your husbands dying.
Right, because they left me.
But not you, you're gonna be around for a long time, you're young and healthy.
Because it wasn't that...
Fuck.
Most of them just got, like, you know, one husband went deaf, and didn't know where he was going, and wandered off. They never came back. You know, that was the saga of this character.
How would he have gone deaf?
Okay. Let's see if I can do this. It's not very good anymore. But, you know, I still have that.
You have a few months to warm up and get back into it.
Yeah,
that's
all right. I've toned it down just a wee bit because... I have.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. I don't doubt it.
I've been told that when I get
startled.
Going... part of the answer is, when I'm nervous, mm-hmm. I talk fast. Most people do. When they're nervous, they start, and you don't realize how fast you're talking.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that just sort of propelled the direction, and I've been able to do...
You turned that into an asset.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
Isn't it scary? And and I can sing in the voice, which is really sad or scary. It'll do magic, believe it or not. Yeah.
Oh, that's really good.
I used to do that to make magic wands for with the kids in the little the magic wand booth. They make them, and it's like, and the kids would be utterly fascinated as I'm twisting the wand, the ribbons on the wands, singing away until I get to the next scene. Sense, okay, now we got to put the magic in because you can't have magic without the words to put the, and the kids are just like, oh, the big eyes. I love that part. I don't do many wands anymore, but at least, you know, I still have the practice on that. There's a lot of, yeah, no, so many different things over the years. I mean, I was at the mayor's entourage for, Lord, 15, 20, 20 some years. And then they were disbanded.
At least, yeah.
They were disbanded. It was a accountant process.
Ah.
Yeah, one of those dollar and cents that didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Except. And so I was off on my own wandering the streets, but I wouldn't wander the streets. I grabbed out what seemed to be the thing to do because I was trying to portray a lady of the era.
Sure.
And sure, she's a widow, but, and so as a widow, you'd have money, but not property.
Mm-hmm.
You might have your, you know, dowry or whatever. And a woman of the time was really nobody without being married, which is something modern people have no concept of, really. It's you were nothing unless you were married, and a woman's what do you want to call it?
Worth
was the things she brought to the marriage, including not just money, connections, and the skills she had, in particular housekeeping. That's partly music. Why men married was to have someone to take care of their households, not just to beget and to, you know, the heirs that were necessary of the blood. Because if you had bastards, you didn't necessarily have them for your heirs.
Right.
But a woman's...
All those courtly skills, the playing an instrument.
Playing an instrument, singing, receiving, making... we don't think about it nowadays, but making menus, amazingly enough.
Oh, sure.
Because you had to work with what you had for food.
Yep.
And it's not like us, who can go to the grocery store and get everything right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go get that stuff from the store. What I've been doing the last few years has been needlework. And which was another thing that we as modern humans just don't get. Because a person had to do everything by hand. And if you were a peasant, you didn't have time to do the sewing. You didn't have the light to do the sewing. You might be doing it in the wintertime to your sputtering little tallow candle at night and making your once a year or twice a year new outfit, new clothes. And the woman of the manor, in this case, she would not have to do the cooking or the cleaning or those kinds of things, but she could not sit around on her hands doing nothing. No, this is the person who has to go out there and go, tapestries on these stone walls that keep this house warmer. Somebody who makes the pillows for the, you know, the beds, making men's and adding the embroideries, which was what the fancy work was. You had time as a lady to do that extra stuff, whereas, like we were seeing at the Festival of Nations, all of these gorgeous peasant traditional costumes with all this amazing needlework, which they would do, like, for once a year, Sunday dress.
Sure.
And can you imagine trying to make your clothes right now by hand with one needle and thread, trying to cut it out?
All the bead work.
All the bead. If you have bead work, but your everyday clothes, you know, that's people wore pretty much the same clothes day in and day out, all week long. You might get it washed on Monday. Your undergarments, you pretty much change daily. If you know whoever you are,
this is a lot like Fest.
It is.
In many ways, it is. No, that's
except we launder on the weekends. So.
There is.
But that's really the interesting thing. One of the things I learned about Fest is you do have these outer garments that are your... That's what you wear. It's just you wash the linen barrier between you and the clothes that gets dirty, so your outer clothes don't get dirty.
That outfit is your clothing.
Yeah.
And so. I love astounding children because, you know, it's like, well, did you make this beautiful lace on your clothes? Who made the lace? Can you sew that kind of thing? And I let them do some of the fancy needlework. Boys look at me like, what? Me crochet? Me knit? knitters were men. Mm-hmm. So they were knitting guilds. Men took the, because it made money. Women could knit too, but men made money at it.
Uh-huh.
All the weavers' guilds, yeah.
Weavers were men yeah. also.
That's like cooking women in would, France.
Right, right. Except for some of the, well, depends on where the households were. The larger sure. households probably had men as chefs, cooks. Mm-hmm. The smaller ones had women.
I was thinking like mid-century, yeah. Okay. Okay. 20th.
There's a difference between a cook and a chef. And
right.
Right.
Women there's were cooks, that. Men were chefs.
Gotcha. Right.
Well, chef is just the French word for chief or head.
Yeah.
I love words.
But I mean, that's in France, that's
that
was a huge yeah. thing. It was yeah. the people that did the day-to-day cooking in the house, that was the woman's job.
Right.
But the people who were chefs, mm-hmm. that was only right. men could do that. Women couldn't right. handle that.
Exactly. But a woman was still in charge of the household yep. if she was there, because mm-hmm. That was her job. You know, it's like mm-hmm. men didn't do that. They did whatever other things men did, going out shooting, and getting to bring the food in. And
doing bold things out yes. in bold places.
Well, yes, and women
like
didn't
crocheting.
Do
yes,
crocheting weaving. Is making fishing nets.
Yep. Yeah, I suppose
that's
yeah.
how it came from. Is weaving? Or excuse me, crocheting is how you do fishermen's nets, mm-hmm. which I found fascinating when I found that out.
My dad had read some adventure stories that involved pirates and mm-hmm. sailing ships and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
To me, and when I was like 5 or 6. The world still was not, the world is still not very progressive today, but it was like 30 something years ago,
yeah.
it was even worse.
Yeah.
But the, not a lot, but a little bit, but, yeah, no, he was like, all right, your mother and I are going to teach you to sew things and repair clothing, because this yep. is an essential skill that every person should know. And I was like, that's girl stuff. And he's like, you shut your mouth. It's like, we just read these stories about all of these sailors and pirates and things like that, and you know that they didn't have wives on the ships to...
It was considered bad luck to have a woman.
Yes, in those days, yes, women weren't on ships.
How do you think all of their stuff gets done? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, they learn to do it. All of these things are equally fine... For this is something that every human being should know,
right.
male or female.
Your
this is
sails,
not
you
this
know,
is not a
like
girl
repairing
thing.
It.
Yeah, and if you say woman's work to me ever on behalf of your grandmother, I will slap your mouth.
Do you, okay, two things. One, what did sailors do when they had nothing else to do? They mm-hmm. do knots. So they sit mm-hmm. around and doing tying knots. What is sure. macrame? mm-hmm. That's where some of that comes from. I mean, you
makes
look
sense.
At the knots that sailors do and make, well yeah, you're mm-hmm. bored yeah. sitting around, well, waiting for my turn to do whatever. Mm-hmm. The other part, sewing machine.
Scrimshaw was the other thing.
Yeah, right. Well, if you were a whaler.
Yeah.
Joseph?
Or any bone. No. You can sing about it if you really want.
Mm.
Boom, 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 boom. Never mind. yeah. But a sewing machine.
Sure.
What is a sewing machine? It's a power tool.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Sharp objects with thread. Oh, yeah. And if you've ever run a good sewing machine that goes, bah! the material flies through and you stab yourself in the...
sewing machine.
I've managed to go through the fingers.
Well, have you ever seen have you ever seen Fiddler on the Roof?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's a tailor.
Yeah, yeah. The tailor is...
And then he gets up the money to buy the sewing machine.
Yep.
Right.
Like, which is bigger yeah. than the baby oh, yeah. being born.
Uh-huh. Well, sewing machines didn't. I've been researching this one because everybody goes, oh, they were sewing machines in this era. No, sewing machines didn't show up until 1820s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a
everything prior to that was done
that.
By hand. And even after that, it was expensive mm-hmm. to get a sewing machine. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
there was a
yeah.
thing about Singer,
mm-hmm.
the patented machines.
Right.
Stuff you missed in history class. I wholeheartedly recommend it. It was super fascinating. Yeah, no.
I heard that episode. Yes, that was a great episode.
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
Yeah. No, it's amazing.
That was a fantastic episode, yes.
What happens when you get something mm-hmm. like the machine, I mean, robots and other machinery to make life of leisure, mm-hmm. which we've always wanted. Mm-hmm. Suddenly we have life of leisure. We don't know what to do with ourselves.
No.
So we create art.
Yeah. Well, we create all kinds of crazy things. I mean, that was my defense mechanism.
Repairing the robots.
Sewing was my defense mechanism too, because I can't afford I couldn't afford to pay somebody to do all this stuff.
Yeah. Longtime friend of the show, Charles Knutson, recently posted online an article, which I haven't read yet, and I keep meaning to, but it's just never the right time. It's an article entitled "How Many Stitches Are in Medieval Clothing."
Yep.
Mm.
And every time that comes across my screen, I go, I really want to read that, but I'm busy right now. But I really want to read that.
I will actually, I'm going to make a note to myself to read that.
I should do that.
And I'm feeling really dense because I had set aside, I'm working on a new corset for myself, and I set it aside to bring it along because I could sit and sew and talk at the same time. And yet, it's still sitting on my dining room table.
Super multitasking.
Okay, multitasking. I could tell you about my Saturday. Laundry. I'm painting a toddler bed. I'm making upholstering a trunk for puppets.
Okay.
There was a couple other things simultaneously doing all the and cleaning house, doing dishes.
You're also highly in demand for costuming right now.
No, I'm not highly in demand. No, I don't actually have anything to make outside of my own things.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you need a costume for the Renaissance Festival, you could do a lot worse than go to Mary for costuming purposes. Well, she's a fantastic costumer.
Thank you, dear. I have things lined up. I will admit. I mean, this is my first year to actually go to Convergence. It's been umpteen years since I've gone to MiniCon. So this will be my first year actually managing to go to Convergence because it finally fits in with my schedule.
I'll see you there.
And so I've got two costumes for myself to make up. I've got everything lined up. I've got a new coat for Salsa.
Ooh. Do you really?
What? You whined a little bit. Okay, you whined a lot
about
your coat, how lightweight it was last. You whined. I heard you. It didn't involve liquor at all. You whined. You complained it was so lightweight.
Salsa, you should really take some Benadryl because we know how allergic you are to getting cold.
And yet, when he actually wore the thing, it was perfect.
Uh-huh.
But I did manage to go out and get more better material. I love it when S.R. Harris has stuff on sale. Talk about walking into heaven and just going, I want a little bit of everything. This is a little bit of heaven.
As somebody who does costuming, I love that place.
For those of you who are not local and do not know what S.R. Harris is, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no kidding.
Another crazy story. I managed to do something utterly insane. I joined the Jane Austen Society of North America because they're kind of interesting people. And I encountered them previously, and I decided to join this thing. And my first meeting, we talked, I said, I do some sewing, and I showed off a little bit. And the gal says, next week is our ballroom dance. Are you going to wear your Regency ball gown? And I said, I don't own one. Within the week, I was at S.R. Harris buying embroidered taffeta.
Taffeta, darling.
Taffeta, black embroidered taffeta.
And 100 pounds of taffeta. $5
a yard. No, $4.95 a yard.
Yes.
I know. Talk about it. It was stunning. Stunning S.R. Harris. I mean, it's like, okay, I got this one and this one and this one, and how many things can I walk out of here with?
I really need to. Okay, so no, seriously. For those that do not live around here, S.R. Harris is a fabric. What's the word? Cast off?
No.
Not
okay. Have you ever heard of Mood? Some people who know the New York and California Mood fabric store. Everybody's seen it on TV at some point where you have bolts and bolts and rolls of fabric crawling up to the ceiling and floor after floor.
It is
S.R. Harris.
It is a warehouse.
In Minnesota.
Stacked floor to ceiling.
This is the one that they always go to on Project Runway?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Good. All right. But
I'm a Project Runway fan.
But it has literally thousands and thousands and thousands of different just fabrics everywhere.
And you walk in, you fill your cart with stuff, and then you get to the counter and you go, I don't know which one I need to keep. So you might walk out with nothing, or right. you might walk out with no wallet.
Yeah, somebody had sent me but on an emergency mission to go.
Yes, it's good prices. Very
and on
good.
Sundays, it's like yeah. half off.
And she was like, I desperately need this thing, but I'm super, super busy. Mm-hmm. And friend of the show, St. Man of the Destroyer,
yep.
was like, this bolt of fabric I desperately need, and I don't have time to go and get it. And so I ran down there and I just took photos of a few different things. Like I'd expected to find like maybe one thing that was kind of like what, no, I was wrong. Yeah. I'm fine with being wrong. I had to take pictures of like 8 different things. And she's like, number 3 looks perfect. And it was exactly what she
oh,
wanted.
Oh, good.
But the one thing like, though is
30% of what it would have cost uh-huh, anywhere else. Uh-huh.
It's kind of like, like industrial fabric, you know, upholstery places mm-hmm. and whatever will
it's an outlet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's you get all of these fabrics from places that actually do textiles, and they give it to S.R. Harris. But once you buy that bolt, it's gone. Like that's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. Yep.
Like that.
And if
is
you
what
don't buy it, if you see it today and you dream about it, you better buy it now because yeah. it might not oh, be yeah. there next week mm-hmm. when you come back.
Or even my you favorite might not is... be able to find it because it's just it stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks.
Oh yeah.
One of my favorites is walking through and checking out the embroidered silks. Mm. Oh, they're stunning.
You get some fantastic leather for stupid.
Oh yeah. And do you ever see the tassels, the theater curtain tassels. Oh, they're like 2 feet, fuckers, 4 feet yeah. long and about a foot around.
I totally should have gone
oh.
there. I had an urgent need to buy tassels for a secret project.
Well, it would have been about, you know, your, yeah.
Yeah.
The main part of the tassels as big as your head.
Oh, wow. No, I ended up getting exactly the ones that I needed, but it took me a significant amount of time. And
yeah.
kind of a yeah. good chunk of change.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can only say I kind of reluctant to go fabric shopping unless I desperately need something, because mm-hmm. with Millen's fabric closing, Hancock fabric closing,
yeah.
and everything was on clearance for, you know, pittance. It's like, oh, I like this, I like this, I like this. So I have more fabric that currently I can do with, but... Mm-hmm. As a fabric collector, a third generation fabric collector, mm-hmm. I will admit this because my grandmother, I still have some of my grandmother's fabric, my mother's fabric, my fabric, and now I watch my daughters collect fabric too. And we'll work on a little bit eventually too. She's already fascinated by sewing, but there's enough stuff to keep a few people going for a while. Mm-hmm. What can one say? I love taking this fabric is flat. Mm. It's one-dimensional. How yeah. do you take it and contort it and cut it in certain ways to make it into this three-dimensional, even four-dimensional, if you really want to throw the how things move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it moves, it's fourth dimension.
Yep.
So it's fascinating how you can make these things work and figuring it out in your head how to cut and assemble. I will admit that I don't use patterns much anymore.
Sure.
I make them myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's well, yeah. what the costumes are all done by, mm-hmm. You know, I just
You've
like, okay, measure.
Mastery.
I measure people now she and really they tell, I measure people and mm-hmm. they tell me what they want and I make it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I'm very proud of a recent, the 19th, I believe it is SpringCon at the State Fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. And I plan on going. I don't know if I'll be costumed, but it's always fun for Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made a friend. She's going to be going as Ariel in a little pretty dress, pink dress mm-hmm. from when she loses her voice the first time. Mm-hmm. And I managed to make it not like everybody thinks it should be. I'm trying to make mm-hmm. it look like the pictures, mm-hmm. which is not the same as what sure. everybody makes them into. It's sure, a, yeah. you know, like, I want the experience to make it.
There are so many secret mm-hmm. things that you can do with costumes to make them even more amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Secret pockets and things like that are awesome.
I mean, even the bias of the fabric
mm-hmm.
sure.
can really... My grandmother's wedding dress.
mm-hmm.
So my grandmother got married in, you know, Depression era, yep. basically, where mm-hmm. you didn't buy a dress to wear once. That was stupid.
Right.
Nope.
So she had this beautiful burgundy number.
Hmm.
And the thing is this thing, the fabric bias was at a diagonal.
Oh, that's bias, yes.
And so, but it was at a diagonal, so when you put it on, it would rotate and hug your body.
Mm-hmm.
And hug every curve on the way
and
down.
And that's what bias does.
Exactly.
That's what its purpose. Like, it's amazing.
Knowing that if you have the bias go straight one way or straight the other way, it's going to do one thing. But if you angle it, it's going to do this other thing. Like,
that was amazing.
Yeah.
It's like making pop-up books and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. How to make it
but for people to wear.
But if anybody has seen the pictures of me in my blue Russian coat.
You are wearing so many layers.
Mary made that and
but you're wearing how many layers?
That is a beautiful coat.
The shirt, the short coat, the overcoat.
No, I never wear those two coats.
Oh, together. Well, okay. And then you wear your belt.
But
and you
also
got trousers.
She made my shirts, which are also fantastic.
Yeah, I am jealous
and super
of,
comfortable.
I am jealous of your garb.
Thank
Mary
you.
Made that.
But it's the great. Layers that you have to wear for festival. You yeah. have to wear your layers. I mean, look at you in your knight's costume. I mean, there's now Charles Knutson. Once again, there's a video out of watching this old knight assemble all the bits and tying on things.
Which is a great video.
And, you know, well, look at the ladies, you know, the court, a court lady, the more you couldn't move, the more appropriate it was. And I'm wearing, let's see. Shirt, corset, bodice,
mm-hmm.
and then that does include the, okay, yes, I wear knickers. Lumen of the what time did not wear undergarments. Isn't that amazing? I can just imagine sweating.
I love the partial change right in the middle of saying disgusting.
No. It's disgusting in the fact that I know how much I sweat.
Yeah.
My answer to, aren't you hot in it? Yes, I'm damp all under.
Yeah.
I'm damp all under, darling.
Yeah, no, when people
or moist,
hug
take
me
your pick.
After a sword fight or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, you're real sweaty. And like, yes.
Right. And
I mean, that's really all. Are mm-hmm. you hot? Yes, I'm wearing wool. Yes, of course I'm hot.
Well, wool generally breathes pretty well. You know, most of traditional materials breathe.
But I went from gypsy.
Well, you played with fire.
I was playing with fire, but I was a gypsy, so I was wearing pretty loose clothing, and I didn't know just how spoiled I was. Because now that I'm not wearing the gypsy garb anymore, it's a warm one.
Well, I remember the years when you wore just vests and no shirts.
Yep.
You were running around very, very comfortable and cool and casual.
We were fantastic on those hot days. It was great.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. Yeah. No, even working at the fencing booth, being in Ring 1, wearing just the breeches, boots, mm-hmm. and the shirt,
the
I still
shirt,
had to have, and whatever protective stuff, I still had to. One of the wine booths nearby is so kind. They will offer a small amount of ice to mm-hmm. people who work at the booth. And so I would get ice in my hat mm-hmm. and then just let it melt inside the hat and run down my kerchief and down my neck and into my shirt. And it was the most amazing. Even having one. And then I'm looking at my compatriots at the booth who are wearing hoop skirts or giant.
Well,
gowns.
The hoop skirts, the best part about the hoop skirts is that there's ventilation.
I suppose.
If you watch the court, if they stand still or even in the sunshine, this bunch of people, you'll start noticing the women sway back and forth.
Their little bells.
Ding dong. It's moving the air.
Yep.
Unlike some of the peasants.
Can you do the same thing
the
when I'm wearing a kilt?
Yeah, you could if you wanted to, though. I'm laughing at the. I'm sorry. The first thing I'm just remembering all the guys I see come out to the Renaissance with their kilts on backwards.
Oh, we.
I catch them and I say, dude.
There have been a number of times where we've had to form a human wall and fix somebody.
No, mm-hmm. I've said several times, dude, well, excuse me, you better change your kilt around, otherwise the Scotsman will laugh and they'll never, ever tell you why. And you really don't want a Scotsman to laugh at you for that. Because it looks, you know, like, okay. And they keep thinking, oh, isn't the pleats in the front for knee room?
No. Nope.
Bustle in the back.
Yes.
But well, I personally, it's like, okay, I've achieved a certain age where it's like I hate sweating. So anytime I'm running around, you know, in the sunshine and the heat, I'm just melting. It's like I'm done. Bye. Except at Renaissance, you put me in those 15 layers of clothes. I'm wearing stupid black. I have worn stupid black for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Widow character, right? Okay.
with and lace so, cuffs on the sleeves and the whole, like, oh.
Yeah, I'm wearing, and it's all synthetic, so nothing breathes.
Yeah.
And so the sweat is just dripping down my back, pouring, you know. And well, it doesn't count. And ladies, if you don't know this, please get a bodice cooler or just stuff a whole bunch of ice cubes down the front. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. I have ice cubes dripping down my front cleavage. It's like, why are you doing that? Because it works.
Yeah.
You know.
Because it's necessary.
If you want to keep walking, and I can say in my history of 30 some years, I've never gone down. I've never had heat stroke. I felt a little wavery and I said, okay, I'm sitting down.
Yeah.
But I've never gone down. So
this last summer was the was one of the more brutal ones because I'm effectively wearing a hobo oven.
Yep.
Yes.
Out there. I did have an hour or so where I just was a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, yeah. A friend of mine who used to work at the Renaissance Festival would dress up as the trash can.
So
you know the trash can frames.
Yeah. The Pixies.
What he would do is he would sling one of those trash can frames over his shoulders. He would dress in a trash bag.
Right.
And what he would do is he would sit down, tuck his knees in, ball himself up, and on his hat, he had a flat top hat that he had just stuck a bunch of trash. So he would sit down, tuck his knees in, and drop his head down through the hole, and he looked just like a trash bin.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
And so he would basically Oscar people, you know.
No, Grasker.
People would throw, you know, stuff into the trash can, mm-hmm. and he'd pop his head out and yell at him, but he was wearing black plastic all day, basically. And he in his real life, he was a paramedic.
Yep.
Sure.
And so he knew exactly what signs to look for.
Sure.
He knew exactly where his limits were as far as where heat stroke was and where dehydration was. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is the moment. As soon as this happens, I know I have to be done. Hmm. You know, and as soon as this happens, I know I need to do this. Like, mm-hmm. if I've reached this point, this is what I need to do to, mm-hmm. and so he was able to do that. But man, it was brutal.
Yeah.
But he knew exactly what he could get away with. So.
And watching others too, because not everybody realizes what's, you know, that you're starting to look, you stopped sweating or you started looking a lot of pale. Okay, for some women it's the paint, but still, the face paint.
Oh, and by the way, if you're hot and you suddenly stop sweating,
that's
bad.
Yeah, that's really bad.
This is one of the ways that you took care of me just within the last few years. Yeah. Is you walked by me, I think it was this last year, and you were like, you should look after yourself. You look terrible right now. Yeah.
Worse than normal.
Thanks.
Well, I can only say I've seen a whole lot of people grow up out there. I love the Ren Rats and all of those. I love watching the kids grow. I mean, we're working on third generation Rennies. Mm-hmm. So what can we say?
I did find that article that Charles posted.
Ah. Yes.
It is a short article, but damn, is it fascinating, by the way.
Yeah.
I skimmed it, and I'm going to go through it again in fine detail, because I will definitely post that in the show notes. We should, however, this is fascinating, by the way, but we should probably start to look at wrapping this
up.
We
still have an
outro.
Well, if you've got enough fabric, we can wrap anything up.
Absolutely. But we still need to make sure James gets to work on time.
That's true. Get you to the work on time.
I appreciate it.
Are you taking commissions right now? Is that something you do want?
Talk to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know also...
I'm very, very, very reasonable. However, I know a Velvet Tart who needs...
Yes.
Who has lots of opportunity and very great talent.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, we should link that store also.
Okay, we will do that. We will put that in the show notes.
One of the things that those of us who like to sew like to sew. And the challenge is not just sewing it, but making what it is supposed to be. I love the challenge of making things.
Well, and I mean, I enjoy, because I've watched people come to you for costumes over the years, and I've seen what you put out, and it's fascinating walking around the site and just every so often seeing somebody walk by and go, oh, I recognize that shirt.
Like,
but like I'm saying about The Velvet Tart, you know, she's also in that, I'll make stuff because it sounds like fun.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'll charge you for it, but I'm going to make it because it's cool.
I've actually just recently commissioned a pair of pants for the show that I'm mm-hmm. going to be in. I'm meeting up with her tomorrow.
Excellent.
To go over measurements and things
good.
Like that.
Well, there you go. Warn her that we're going to send some business her way.
Well, I hope so.
Certainly will.
I would encourage it. You know?
All right. We are going to take a break, and then we'll be back with our outro.
What? The outro.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
Oh, dear God.
You're married. You're married. Just
reaction.
Don't. No, you can't marry me. I'm sorry. It's too late. You married my daughter. You are way. Yeah. Never mind.
So coffee.
I need coffee.
Really.
TrueStone Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
.com website. Go there. Promo code.
Apropos.
It's pronounced.
I know how to read.
That was beautiful.
How to read.
Ladies and gentlemen, True Stone Coffee is the best coffee you will ever have in your life because it is roasted by people who really actually give a shit, and they send it right to your door, and it is freshly roasted, and it is delicious, and you can buy it on their not quite Civet Cat coffee because it's all about.
Well, you said shit.
If you don't want to drink cat coffee that comes from the inside of a cat,
this is much less expensive, and you can make it even less expensiver than that by using the promo code
apropos,
which as we have learned is pronounced
apropos. But it's
not Edgar Allan,
and
right?
No, different from that.
And you can get 10% off of your order, so you can get more coffee.
Is that related to a poet?
Here's the thing, the Civet Cat, the stomach acids
don't show
change
because they're not long fellers.
The stomach acids change the chemical compound of the coffee bean itself, but you still need to roast it correctly.
Correct.
Well, and that's where True Stone Coffee comes
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely. Because your roast coffee machine, dear listeners, has a setting for perfection, and it begins with putting the correct coffee into it.
Mm-hmm.
That was deep.
Yeah. All right. Like cold. Civet Cat deep?
Cold
like
press.
Like colon Civet Cat.
Cold deep. Press.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay, so, let's try this one.
Do we have any shout-outs?
Cold press.
That's more ghost. There was like a gold press. Yeah.
No.
Buy some truce. Gold.
Apropos. Yeah, like
but
that.
But it's pronounced apropos.
Right, like that. Yeah, Jenna, may she rest in peace.
Oh, let her get a nap. She can get a nap in edgewise. Long-wise, short-wise. Well, she's got short-wise taken care of.
Yeah. So,
shout-outs. Does anybody get a shout-out?
I do.
Oh, James, what's
actually,
your shout-out?
The shout-out that I picked was Jenna Young, humorously enough. There's a reason. One, may she rest in peace. Two, we're two guests into this project that she's created for herself, because she's amazing, and I am having a fucking blast.
Also, yes.
So, and thank you to you also for being here, but I'm so grateful to her for arranging fun people.
I'm fun?
In her absence. Yes.
Because I was always thinking, it's like, I'm not qualified to be here because I'm too close to the...
look at us.
I mean, have you met me? I would think you would, but...
Yeah.
I've woken you up.
That is the best answer to that question I think I've ever heard.
I've woken you up.
I am not a pretty person in the morning.
I can either throw a baby at you or a bucket of water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which one would succeed better.
Balance the bucket of water on him and then shoot it with a BB.
Stop having your ideas.
Uh-huh.
I've got lots of ideas. That's the only problem.
All right.
Oh, the things that go through my head that never come out, thank God.
So.
No. I'm frightening.
Shout outs?
And I knew it.
For you?
What's a shout out?
Something nice to celebrate someone or something
a person that you've enjoyed. Or an idea even or a concept or
last week I chose blankets because they're wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Just something that you want to give a lauding to.
Just a vocal high
spring
five.
Actually, my favorite one. Part right now is driving to work in this last week watching the delicate light green. I've driven along the river valley on Highway 13, so I watch the river valley turn from this delicate light green from, you know, brown and this light green darkening and darkening and darkening. Now it's this rich, deep emerald Ireland green that says, I'm the right season now. This is the best time of year. And there's no mosquitoes yet.
Yay!
In Minnesota, it's a mosquito season soon.
These first couple festivals are going to be great because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And no mosquitoing.
Oh, and you don't get to see the green turn, do you?
Me.
I'm sorry.
I am giving my shout out to cuisine. Specifically, we were talking earlier about the international thing and all of the different things. And I am so happy that I am not a picky eater. Because it means I get to experience all that amazing food.
Yeah.
And just all of the different cuisines from around the world and how different they are and how interesting they are and how delicious they are for completely different reasons.
So many different tastes. You know what? I love your son for trying just about everything. I'm impressed that he loves vindaloo chicken and he was so mad at me for eating his Turkish delight.
He was so angry. He was livid. Like he was wandering around the table.
Wandering? He was running in circles.
He was walking around the table with his head down. And I went out, picked him up, and I was like, dude, what's wrong? He was like, I'm sad. Not just like, I'm sad. He was aggressive, like, I am sad. Because grandma ate my Turkish delight. Because when I was waiting in line for the Turkish coffee, their machine, like...
Sure.
I had a problem.
So
the Turkish line coffee. Backed up. Real Turkish coffee. So once they got their machine working again, like, they tried to fill all of the orders of people that had bought them, and they forgot me, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And so everybody got theirs, and they were like, we're done. And I was like, I'm still here. And the guy was like, are you still waiting for him? I was like, yes. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. So while they were preparing another one, he brought me a baklava and a Turkish delight. Which was, I was like, you really don't need to do, I understand.
He wasn't the ice queen offering you Turkish delight to avoid Narnia? Yeah,
that joke was made many times.
Yeah. I know, sorry.
But I got two little Turkish delights.
I still find it funny. No,
I'm just...
Does Truestone make a Turkish coffee too? Or can you make Turkish coffee with Truestone?
Oh, you probably could.
I don't actually know how you make Turkish coffee. Like, by what process is
I don't know either, because they hide it behind a curtain.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so he brought me these Turkish delight, and I brought them back to the table, and we shared them all and stuff like that. And then I offered one to my son, and he went no, and then walked away. So I gave it to...
Yeah, of course.
And then he came back around the next lap, wondering where it was.
As I'm taking a bite...
Yeah.
Of this sugar cube sized.
Right.
And then he was angry. Because he's two.
Because children are capricious. And also adults.
But no, back to what I was saying. It's there is such amazing food from around the world for completely different reasons. Completely different reasons, you know, and everyone has a different spice palette and everyone has a different approach to food and what food should be. And based upon the culture and based upon the resources that they have available, that is a beautiful thing. And if you do not open yourself up to cuisines from around the world, you do not understand just how delicious food from all over the world is. It's so
good. Yeah, the thing that's killing me about this diet is not putting all food in my mouth.
Yeah.
Spices aren't fattening though.
That's true.
but like the South Asian with like all of the honey, and they put sugar in everything, but they've also got like the spicy,
yeah,
like and the
I love the fusion stuff, Singapore Mei Fun, which I've had Singapore Mei Fun, the curry flavor with rice noodles that you had mentioned rice noodles to us, and then like seven kinds of meat.
Yeah,
and it's just my favorite thing, and I can't have that same dish the same way again. But it's still my favorite. Yeah, but cuisine, and then
what?
I
like green. Spring.
You like green? That's right. Okay, good.
Green.
All right.
Green. It's green.
Hey, everybody.
Say,
yeah.
On the far side of the hill.
How about a fast five?
Fast five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from, and I'm going to say this wrong again because I'm a terrible person, Nicole Chapin? Every single time this person comes up, we say it wrong, and I'm sorry because...
Any relation to Harry Chapin Carpenter?
C-H-A-P-I-N.
The singer?
Mm-hmm.
Fast Five Questions Volume 1!
Yes.
Yay.
Question number one.
On this side.
For those that do not know, the way this works is you, the dear listener, sends us five questions and answers. The first.
Revenge.
Yeah, you, the dear listener, sends us two emails. The first one contains five choices. We do not know what these choices mean. They are merely the this or this. That's all we know. It is only after we have made our choices that we then go to the other email and we find out what the context is for those. And we find out if we really, really like our answer or if we regret everything. Mm-hmm. This one, like I said, comes to us from Nicole. Thank you very much. Question number one. On the rocks or as a shot?
Shot.
Shot.
I'll take a shot anytime over watered down something.
I will go with a shot as well.
Sometimes, yeah, I'll go shot. Okay, I will.
Question number two. On the rocks or as a shot?
I'm going to say on the rocks, just to mix it up. Sometimes, especially with like whiskey stones. That can really
change. We calling whiskey stones on the rocks?
I mean, they are very literally rocks.
I know that, but there is a definition.
But they're not doing the watering down, correct. But they are doing the cooling aspect. Yeah.
Because on the rocks very specifically means
that is a good
with a little bit of that frozen water. So is whiskey stones, does that now make it a shot?
I was run them under a sink.
On the other hand, I'd rather say, you know, we're going to take a shot at this, or we can have the water running over rocks in the stream. So, you know, we could do that, you know, going hunting and take nature in its course. But I'll take a shot anyway.
I'm going to say on the rocks.
Okay. I'm going to go with a shot this time. Still. Again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm.
Question number three. On the rocks or as a shot?
Oh. Okay.
I know you didn't see that one coming.
Right. I was wondering if this was going to be one of those.
It is indeed. All of them are on the rocks or as a shot.
What do you think, Mary?
Excuse me. AA-45 has five shots. Six shots? I'll take five.
Okay. I will...
So you're doing all shots?
Five shots.
All five shots?
Okay.
All right. James,
I'm going to go back and forth. I'm going to go back and forth.
Shot, rock,
so this
shot,
one's
rock,
shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm doing shot, shot, rock, rock, shot.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, that's a weird one. I mean, I guess
you're
that makes...
weird.
Well, yes.
Well, so.
Yeah.
That's a given. Can you describe anyone across this bar that is not weird in some way, shape, or form?
No, I really can't.
Precisely.
All right. So, thank you very much. We're going to go open up the second email. And yay! Question number one. On the rocks was a shot, in case you forgot. You're at a bar and someone says, "Let me buy you a tequila." You get to choose the brand. I like this. Which brand do you choose?
Okay.
And do you get it on the rocks or as a shot? Well, it's got to be Sparkle Donkey.
You, sir, can go straight to hell.
I found out Sparkle Donkey's the mid-range. They get even better. They make better ones, too.
What?
It's not the... front
there's three
or the
levels of Sparkle Donkey.
It's not the front or the back.
And at least
donkey.
You didn't get the hot donkey.
A, that sounded dirty, and B, now I have to try this.
We could make a donkey punch.
With hot donkey?
With hot donkey and some kind of punch. I don't know just what fruit. It's made of. Yeah.
Just yeah. Sprite and fruit juice and, yeah, hot donkey.
All right.
Donkey punch. Donkey
I know where
punch.
To get it.
That's a thing now.
Trust me.
Okay.
Trademark.
Okay.
Hot donkey. All right, I'll go find the hot donkey.
Oh, this is a terrible plan, Salsa.
When Jenna gets back, this is what we're serving.
Yes, agreed.
Okay, we get hot donkey. Okay. I know exactly where it is on the shelf.
Oh.
Honestly, tequila is not my thing, so I really don't know what brand.
I guess in this case, I would have to say rocks, no tequila.
Mm.
I don't like tequila.
I'm not a tequila. Yeah, but that's not the spirit of the question. The question is,
I know. But that's why I would say rocks, because I would take as many rocks as possible.
To water
with
it down as much as possible.
See, this is where I'm going to be, like, put on my messenger cap and bag and stuff and be super hipster about this. I know someone who makes really amazing tequila.
Okay.
And it's not a brand. It's not
homemade.
For sale. Yeah.
Cool.
So but that tequila is amazing.
Awesome. No,
slightly sweet, very clear.
I guess the only Jose Cuervo, is that a tequila?
That is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I could go Sparkle Donkey, because if
yeah. you're gonna between the two, I would
if you're going to put
donkey.
Tequila in your face, it might as well be Sparkle Donkey.
It might as well
I've
be
been
hilarious.
Told, I have a coworker who, when I asked her what tequila to get for you guys, she said, Patron. And it's like,
oh, yeah, Patron is a
Patron. Well, and they have, it's exquisite, clear, and this tiny perfume bottle for a small fortune. But yeah, you almost got Patron, and instead you got Sparkle Donkey.
No, and
I will give you a Sparkle Donkey. Anytime.
Sparkle Donkey is hilarious.
Yes. To give tequila its due, I used to enjoy tequila more, and then I had that infamous bad tequila experience.
Oh,
That I feel like a lot of people have that story of their bad tequila experience that they no longer can drink tequila. Like, that is a thing.
I've never had a good tequila experience.
Tequila is not something I usually drink. It's either in a margarita or a tequila sunrise or something like that. So. All right, well, question number two.
Yes?
On the rocks, there's a shot. You're at a bar and someone says, let me buy you a vodka.
Oh.
You get to choose the brand. What brand do you choose, and do you get it on the rocks or as a shot? This one is easy as far as it is a shot.
Okay.
Far as the brand goes, fuck. Because as we have talked about, Moscow on the Hill is... got a wall of vodka.
Do you like your
and
pepper?
Every single one is better than the last.
Your pepper vodka.
The pepper vodka is pretty, but the horseradish.
I want.
Vodka,
yeah, I want.
The
I want.
Referent horseradish vodka is phenomenal. Honestly, this Belvedere vodka is really solid. Mm-hmm. But seriously, walk into Moscow on the Hill in St. Paul and order any one of the 75,000 vodkas that they have, and they're going to be great.
I'm going to say, I haven't experienced Moscow on the Hills vodka yet. Mm-hmm. You and I need to go on a gentleman's date.
This will happen
out there. But I have had Due Nord.
We will speak Russian to each other.
Yes.
No, the Due Nord is actually a very good vodka. Mm-hmm. I would say absolutely that is an acceptable answer to me.
Yes.
Now, in my scrounging for interesting alcohols, I've wandered by and I almost bought they had this delicious looking ocean vodka. It's in it like a globe kind of thing. It's supposed to be incredibly good and clear and and it was sitting next to an alien head vodka.
Yeah.
That one you almost got.
Or like the one in the clear Tommy guns and that kind of stuff.
No, it was a green. Yeah, no, that's okay. There are levels.
The Spencer's gift of vodkas.
I'm sorry, I went somewhere there, and now we're going to do some ice cubes.
Oh, not that Spencer. A different. That's not the same.
That's good. Even better.
All right.
Well, Spencer's. That's the place where you can get the
everything that you need for a frat party.
Yes.
I mean, just if I had to name one, I would say the referent horseradish vodka. Because that stuff makes an amazing martini, it makes an amazing Bloody Mary, and it makes an amazing shot.
Yeah.
So I would go with the reference
all day. That sounds amazing. Yeah,
works for me. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Question number three. On the Rocks Throws a Shot, you're at a bar and someone says, "Let me buy you a rum."
Oh.
You get to choose the brand. Which brand do you choose? And do you get it on the rocks or as a shot?
Huh.
I would go with... it's called Mount Gay.
I've had that.
It is a Jamaican? No, Haitian rum.
That I'm pretty sure I've had that, yeah.
It is amazing. Because most people around, here are familiar with, the spiced rums with the sure. Captain Morgan, the things like that. When you get an actual, Caribbean rum, if you want, if you're talking a shot, if you're going to mix it, then I would go with, I would say Sailor Jerry's is a solid one. Mm-hmm. But this,
Kraken is a very popular Kraken, option. Mm-hmm. Dark and stormy. Sure.
But if you want just a shot, I would say Mount Gay. That's a solid one.
I will take that advice. And so far, I haven't chosen On the Rocks for any of these three now that I know the context.
Neither have I.
No. I don't.
Shot on all of them.
I don't think I would.
And I'm not much of a rum drinker. I will say that when I was a small child, my mother's hard drink of choice was rum and coke on the rocks. And of course, being a small child, of course I tasted these things. That's how I developed a taste for better beers and various things. And no, I did not appreciate the rum and coke.
Fair enough.
So, no.
Rum and tequila are kind of the instant. If I have them, I'm probably going to have an okay night, but it's going to be an unhappy drunkenness emotionally, and then the next day I'm going to have a strong hangover.
For me, if I'm going to do rum, it has to, it's not a shot. It's going to be contained in a punch. A traditional rum punch.
Oh, a rum punch.
Rum punch.
Question number four.
Yeah.
You are at a bar and someone says, "Let me buy you a whiskey." You get to choose the brand. Which brand do you choose? And you get it on the rocks or as a shot?
Jameson. Scotch is a whiskey.
Well, hold on. Are we including scotch in this?
I don't think so, because I think then...
Because it is scotch
whiskey.
In the
spirit of the question,
spelling whiskey? Is it the water of life in Scotland? Or is it whiskey in Irish?
W-H-I-S-K-E-Y.
That would be Scottish.
Okay.
Irish is with a single. So.
Just the KY.
Right.
No E.
Whiske. Which is means water of life.
I mean, fair.
And it's not Scotch. That's different.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are excluding Scotch.
But,
okay.
I just, house rules, I wanted to establish where exactly we were drawing the line. And if we're going only whiskey, that does make it a lot harder.
Yes, it does.
But are we also including / excluding bourbon?
No, bourbon's American. It's mixed. It's blended.
It is a whiskey.
But it is, because they're not saying single.
Yeah. Okay.
Single malt or anything like that.
I am perfectly happy to exclude it and say bourbon is a separate thing, but I just want to make sure we have the rules down. Okay.
Macallan.
Macallan's a good one.
Talk about prrr. Can I get a good prrr on that one?
I think Macallan is the one I was thinking of as well.
Well, isn't Macallan a scotch, though? Or can we... No,
it's whiskey.
It is just Macallan, a whiskey. No. Okay.
And I was drinking a lot of Macallan at my bachelor party, actually.
Am I remembering correctly that Johnny Walker is...
Johnny Walker is a whiskey.
Is a whiskey, yes.
It's an American blended.
It's not a bourbon, though, so I don't think it counts.
I was a big fan of Bullet, but I'm not a fan of their company politics.
Now, if you get Johnny Walker, is it red label, green
label?
I was going to say
blue label. Because I remember having blue label.
Oh, man.
Smooth.
Yes.
My wife found a rye that is absolutely divine, and I can't remember what it's called.
Well, again, for me, the Bullet Rye was amazing, but I don't want to buy any of their products anymore.
Mm.
So,
fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Question number five.
Yeah.
On the rocks or the shot, you're at a bar and someone says, "Let me buy you an Irish cream."
Oh, hey.
You get to choose the brand. What brand do you choose, and do you get it on the rocks or as a shot? I would... This...
The one that we just had.
Nope. The brandy is
good.
For me, an Irish cream has to be in a brandy snifter.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Neat.
Yes.
Because you're warming it with your hand like a brandy. Mm-hmm. And because there's whiskey in it and warming the cream. But it's I cannot water that down. Mm. To me, that is just... You're that torturing the flavors in there, to me.
That is sacrilege, and the brand is super easy for me. It's got to be Bushmills Irish Cream.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bushmills Irish Cream is...
Holy crap,
Mother's
yes.
milk.
Okay. All right.
Okay, well, festival used to be, for me, the jump start every morning was a jack full of coffee and Irish cream.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Those days it was... Bailey's, of course, but that's all right. I like
Irish.
Bailey's is a lot of people's like intro to Irish cream, but Bushmills Irish cream, that's the shit right there.
It's a good way to get started in the morning.
I've had too many cement mixers.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
I think Bushmills is as good a
choice
as any.
I guess it's a shot in a brandy snifter.
I'm going to go neat on all of these.
I agree. Yeah. Neat. Yep. Yeah. Switching. You absolutely had it right. Neat on all the way down.
If I didn't get to pick the brand,
no,
then that might be a different story.
I was going to. You were commenting about the screwdriver and the Bloody Mary. Mm. For me, okay, screwdriver you can throw ice in. Bloody Mary, keep the ice out to me because that just to me it taints it. They look at me like, oh, I say bartender, no ice, no lime. And they look at me like I'm nuts, but it's the best way to drink it.
Have you had a Bloody Margaret?
No.
It's a gin Bloody Mary, and it is by far the best drink I have ever had.
It is pretty great.
I'll have to wander into that one.
Yeah, because a lot of people are afraid of the juniper taste. That it's not there.
It really depends on the gin, too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even with, like, I've had bargain basement gin in a Bloody Margaret, and the tomato just eats that flavor. Yeah.
And a dill pickle.
Oh. Yes.
And Nicole wraps this up by saying, yep, I was drinking delicious Guinness chocolate milkshakes when I came up with this list of Fast Fives.
Aww.
So again, I am an asshole because I really am not good with names and I butchered your last name and I apologize. But Nicole, thank you so very much for sending in those Fast Fives.
Thank you.
The fault is all with me, not with anybody else, and so don't hold us all accountable for my misgivings.
This is amazing to me, just because I'm on this side of the Fast Five, because I can't say how many I've given you guys, but I love trying to dream up a purpose.
The number is greater than zero.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like finding the secret envelopes.
That's my favorite
stashed
part.
Stashed in the bar.
Which we're writing on, right?
Yes, as a matter of fact. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
My favorite was when I managed to get one into Jenna's seat at one of her meetings for rehearsals. Mm. I'd sneak that one off. It's like, managed to get somebody to sneak it in their pockets.
I don't know how many times we've come down here to record and we've set down our laptops and just gone, why is there a bottle of something in the middle of the bar?
I've been nice once in a while.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you so very much, I said, Nicole, for the Fast Five. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, you can do that. All you need to do is send in two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. Please give the two messages similar subject lines so we know they go together.
They should match, but they should not match any others.
But you should send two emails. The first one should contain the answers, and the second one you should repeat the answers and then contain the context. And if you are sending in more than one pair, please use different subject lines.
We can only confuse Salsa so much.
It's true. I know for a fact that some of Mrs. Mudd's were lost to the annals of time because I screwed things up. But thank you so very much to the people who have sent them in after our pleas last week.
Yes.
We did get a couple in. That doesn't mean you should not send them in, but...
Someone who has sent one in has been copiously apologizing. Well, no, not exactly. He's been saying, I'm not sorry. I am not sorry about it. But I am excited to hear it. So when we get
time
to that
tell.
One. Yeah.
Last things, James, what do you have to plug?
Chess. Human Combat Chess is our final games of the season are all during June. So I will provide more information and where to buy tickets and all of that stuff as that approaches.
Cool.
And then I'm also in Vilification Tennis at the end of this month. Vilification Tennis sings Disney.
Is that Friday or Saturday?
It is a Friday.
So that's the 25th?
I believe so.
Okay. May 25th.
Yeah.
10 p.m.
Get your tickets.
Bryant Lake Bowl.
Because this one sells out.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm sorry, are you done?
I am.
Okay, I am going to be this weekend at the Renaissance Festival of Nebraska. I will be doing four shows a day there, so come and see me do that stuff, doing all my crazy sideshow shit. The weekend after that, I will be in Janesville, Wisconsin for the Janesville Renaissance Festival. I do not have a schedule for that yet. I have a contract, but I don't know what times my performances will be.
Sure.
So sorry about that. And then in a couple weekends after that, I might be in Port Washington, Wisconsin.
Oh,
but
wow.
I don't know yet.
Is that for the medieval...
That's for the Port Washington Pirate Festival.
Ooh!
It's right on the lake there.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
Over... Port Washington's kind of near Milwaukee, I think, if I have my geography correct. But it's over on the lake there. I don't know yet if that's a done deal or not, but I might be there the first weekend of June. And then I believe it's the second weekend of June, I will be in Alma, Wisconsin for Fire in the Shire.
Nice.
So...
Go. You have your summer lined up.
Are you listing those things on your performer page?
They are all on my performer Facebook page.
Awesome.
They should be on my website as well, sideshowcaz.com.
Awesome.
So, check that stuff out. We should get out of your ear holes so James can get on with going to work.
Go
and
to work.
He's not drunk, and you can go on with your lives. So if there's nothing else to say...
I do that every day too, so...
then we're just going to finish out by saying, eat the fucking cake.
I love you. Bye.
This is me testing my microphone. Testy, 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 testy,
detest.
Testing, testing. Booyah Bays based jokes. Booyah Bays based jokes.